Welcome to No Dunks for Friday, July 24th. I'm Tass Mellis. Alongside me, through the power of technology, it's the bearded one, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-o!
And of course, the international man of mystery, it's Lee Ellis.
Friend.
Man the man, making the magic happen, it's JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Before we get into the news of the day in the NBA, we got lots to get to. More importantly, Trey Kirby, did you catch some fish yesterday on the pond here in Georgia?
Sad night, Tassie. No luck on the pond, but, you know, this is my first time really fishing, like, in a warm weather spot. You know, we're talking 95, 100 degrees down here in Atlanta. It's a lot different than catching the bass up there in Illinois when it's 85 and cloudy. So, you know, I got to learn my new techniques, got to learn my new patterns, and, you know, maybe not go out at the hottest point of the day. I wouldn't want to be eating. I wouldn't want to be out in the sun if I didn't have eyelids, but I'm confident I'll get something tonight.
Yeah, so you think the fish are hitting the floor of the pond at the peak heat hours?
Yeah, I think they're keeping it cool. You know, that's what all the pro anglers say, is that bass don't have eyelids, so they're trying to hide from the sun. Imagine if you didn't have eyelids, you wouldn't want to be out there. You'd be in the shadows just like these guys. So, I don't know. There's a ton of little ponds around here. I'm going to track them down, and hopefully I get something tonight, if not over the weekend. And if that doesn't happen, I'm just going to retire on Monday.
Yeah, I think I saw that Bill Dance episode where he went out in the hot midday sun and he couldn't catch anything. He's like, daggone it, it's too hot out here. Fishing.
The temp is too damn high.
Listen, I don't think we're really going to get into the second day of scrimmages all that much. You can check out Thursday's show to get our take on the feel of Orlando and the games down there, but maybe we'll get into a little LeBron and that gray beard flying through two guys.
Looking beautiful, that gray beard? He's no longer hiding it. It's like, yep, I've got a big bushy beard and I've got some beautiful grays in there. I love it. Because he was trying to deny it there for a long time, wasn't it? We talked about this in the summer. It was like whether he's using the old, what's it called? The Miss Just for Men. Yeah. And finally he's decided, no, it's better to embrace the grays. Welcome, LeBron. Welcome.
Yeah. I didn't believe you because I didn't think, I guess because he hid them so well. And because, you know, he dyed them a little bit and looking like whenever that beard came out, it was a Kimbo slice, like full black. Yeah. But you're right. He's getting it on in Orlando so far with the gray beard. You know, maybe we'll talk a little bit about that because we're going to talk about the Clippers. We're going to talk about Kevin Garnett wanting to own the Minnesota Timberwolves. We're going to talk about Nate Robb getting in the boxing ring. We're going to talk about Michelob Ultra becoming the official beer of the NBA league, replacing Budweiser. We'll get to that. A lot of stories out there. So let's debate if they matter or not in an edition of Is This News? First one, the Clippers are missing four rotation players. This is via The Athletic's Joe Vardon. Patrick Beverley and Montrezl Harrell have left the bubble to deal with family issues, and Ivica Zubac and Landry Shamet just haven't even arrived yet. So no word on those two when they're showing up. So Lee, four players missing from the Clippers rotation. Is this news?
Well, hopefully it's not major news for the Clippers. Whatever the guys are dealing with, hopefully it's something they can take care of and get back into their team, because once you leave the bubble in your return, you're going to have to quarantine for, again, a certain amount of period of time before you're allowed to join your team and go out there and playing again. The season, we know, starts next Thursday, incredibly, the resumption. So there's not a whole lot of time there. But if someone has to leave for an emergency, of course, that's far more important than playing any basketball game. So you just hope everyone's safe and well there. For the Clippers, though, you know, in terms of getting prepared and ready to go out there and to contend for a championship, it probably isn't the greatest preparation for them, because, you know, they want everyone there. They need guys sort of getting familiar with each other again. So those eight games, those sort of resumption regular season games, it's going to be interesting to see just how many players they have available, and if so, how many minutes guys like Paul George and Kawhi Leonard play, because, you know, the Clippers are going to make the playoffs, obviously. Whether or not Doc Rivers wants to sort of just ease guys in, still knowing and expecting to have a long playoff run, does he want to make sure that those guys don't sort of pick up any injuries by playing too many minutes in those pre-playoff games. So for the Clippers, a little bit of a setback, certainly only in a basketball sense, in a life sense, none of that stuff really matters. But hopefully for the Clippers, you know, to be in the position they're in, they can get at least their best squad out there once the playoffs begin.
Are you willing to lock that in, Lee, that the Clippers are going to be making the playoffs here after those seeding games? You're really out on a limb.
Yeah, well, you know, it's look, we're all a bit rusty on our lock 'em ins right now, but they should be fine, the Clippers. I think they'll make, if they don't make it from here, that'll be like the old days of the Clippers, you know, where things just keep going wrong for them.
Yeah, that would be news if they somehow fall out of the playoffs from second in the Western Conference. But as of now, it's not news. As long as those guys make it back, things are going to be fine for the Clippers. You know, this is a team that has had Kawhi in and out of the lineup for load management, rest, whatever you want to call it. Same thing with Paul George. His season started a little bit late. They're used to shuffling lineups in and out. You know, that was one of my concerns with the Clippers throughout the season was that they didn't always have all their guys healthy and out on the court, so maybe the chemistry wouldn't be there. Certainly, you would like to have as many games before the playoffs as you can down in Orlando just to build that chemistry back up, to build that fitness back up, to get raring to play games that actually matter. But as long as, you know, these four rotation guys, they're not the top two guys on the Clippers, so I'm not too nervous for them. But as long as they get back, I think it's all good. But if they fall out of the playoffs, we're talking something else, no doubt.
Yeah, I'm going to say this is news because, yeah, they're not the top two guys. And Paul George looked pretty freaking good in their first scrimmage. And he's playing with Kawhi Leonard. But those dudes haven't even played all that much together. Like you said, Trey, throughout the year, Paul George didn't even have a real training camp. And then he missed the first 11 games at the start of the season. We know Kawhi managed the load all season long. And those two guys have only played 32 games together. And it feels like a Doc Rivers team, you know, he is the kind of guy that says we got to be playing great going into the postseason. Wants as many reps as possible with all their guys, with their starter in Patrick Beverley, Zubats, who could be starting, and those other rotation guys. And I'm just not sure how many games he's going to get. I think the hiatus hurt them. They're good enough to make the playoffs. They're gonna make the playoffs, but they're good enough to win two rounds with this team that is going into their first postseason together. This isn't a team that's had years and years of experience together. They're good enough, but I think it does hurt when they get up to a Lakers team that played all year together in the conference finals. I imagine this team just needs more reps. So yeah, Patrick Beverley and Montrezl Harrell on July 30th, when they do play the Lakers in that opening seeding game, the regular season begins again. Those two guys may not be there. It's a 4 to 10 day quarantine period that those guys will have to go through when they get back. I just want them, you know, for the sake of to get them to their best levels possible, to get as many reps as possible. And I say that thinking, who the heck knows? Maybe PG takes a game off. You know, like yeah. these guys have just sat out so many games this season. I think 32 games is just, I don't know. Can you win a championship like that? Like the hiatus hurt, I think, and maybe they'll have another eight together. Sure, but I don't know. People turn around and say, "Hey, Kawhi played 60 games last year and he won a championship with the Raptors." Yeah, but the Raptors have been playing for years together. Besides Kawhi Leonard, this is a fairly brand new team with the top two guys are new parts. Reggie Jackson came in at the trade deadline, took the ball out of Lou Williams' hand. They played eight games together, I think. I'm worried for this team all these guys that are missing, but I don't know. They could shut
as
me
long,
up.
As long as they don't fall to fourth in the Western Conference when the playoffs come, so then they won't face the Lakers until the conference finals. Right now, they're game and a half up on the Nuggets and three up on the Utah Jazz and four up on the Thunder and fifth. So basically, the Nugget, if the Clippers, you know, for whatever reason, they, you know, drop a couple of games here, as long as they don't fall below third, they'll still, I think, fancy their chances of getting to the conference finals before they have to face the Lakers. And that's probably ultimately their sort of first goal here is, like, we don't want to play the Lakers until it's the conference finals.
Yeah, and the Nuggets schedule is pretty tough, so I'm not sure the Nuggets can catch the Clippers for the two seed.
But man, what a deep team this Clippers team is. Because you look at the names that are missing here, you're like Pat Beverly, Montrezl Harrell. They could easily be in the closing lineups for the playoffs. That could also be true for Ivica Zubac and Landry Shamet. But not having any of those guys there, they've still got enough players to field a team that's going to be competitive, even in the Western Conference. So, you know, as long as there aren't any, you know, adverse effects from missing a little bit of extra time for these four players, I think they'll be fine. But you guys are right, the seeding games could certainly matter, and you know, it remains to be seen how seriously teams are taking these seeding games, right? Like, is a second seeded team really that worried about dropping to third? Probably not, but fourth, certainly. So yeah, we'll see how it plays out.
And they've got Joakim Noah looking great out there. So fresh legs. He's all ready to go. He's, oh man, he's in great shape. You know, he wasn't just sitting at home watching Netflix during the quarantine.
You know that these guys are taking it seriously when Joakim Noah steps up to the tip ball, the jump ball, to start the game against the Magic and wins it. Joakim Noah, who's barely been in the league, outjumps Nikola Vucevic by like 6 inches. He was going after it. I will say, there's the few teams, I said we wouldn't get into the scrimmages, but we talked about LeBron. The Lakers, the Bucks, and the Clippers, I mean, they showed up to play hard in their first scrimmage games. And Paul George and Kawhi are on the bench, not 6 feet apart. I do not believe that those chairs are 6 feet apart. But they're there jawing together on the bench. They're talking about the game because I think because they still have to work a few things out between them because they haven't played that many games together. But they're there to win it, that's for sure. And so looking forward to July 30th, TNT. That's the opening night of the regular season, part of the doubleheader. All right, next one here. Sportico with the news that Minnesota Timberwolves owner Glenn Taylor is open to selling the team. 79-year-old owner has kind of flirted with it in the past, but now it sure seems like he wants to sell the team. And this is the news I want to get to. Kevin Garnett making his own news on Twitter, coming out and saying, I want to buy this team. So, Trey, is this news?
Oh, it's definitely news. Anytime an NBA team is actually up for sale, it's going to be news. Because with changes at the top, there are changes the whole way down. Danny LaRue always says that ownership is the biggest competitive advantage in the NBA. And that's the case. I do love seeing KG putting the pressure on Twitter. The guy's not a huge social media user, but you know, he's getting those retweets. He's getting those likes. The internet pressure is working. I don't know exactly how Kevin Garnett would be as a governor of a team. You know, I know when he retired, he had made more playing basketball than any NBA player before him. I think that's still the case. He's still somehow made like $70 million more than LeBron James, who's also had an epically long career. But KG's got a passion for the Timberwolves. I think it would be very cool to see him retire his own jersey. But yeah, I mean, anytime an NBA player owns a team, it seems extra cool. You know, it's Michael Jordan right now, but if we could add another guy, the next guy who made a whole bunch of money, I think that looks really awesome.
Yeah, I think it's great too, especially because he is so connected with the Timberwolves. Of course, he went and played with the Celtics and won a championship there, but you sort of just remember those first 12 years. KG was the face of that franchise. And the fact that a player wants to get back into the team, no one has any idea what type of owner he will be. But if you look around the NBA, a lot of the owners aren't very good. And so, you know, they come from not necessarily a basketball background. They're a business background where they've got all this money and they go and buy a team for a hobby. And then they're always trying to save money. If you look at like the situation in Phoenix, you know, they've got a terrible owner there. The Knicks have got a bad owner. So I think Kevin Garnett coming in, he understands that Minnesota is not a destination where a lot of players want to go to. But if he's there, perhaps he can change that. Perhaps he can convince some of the guys to go there and play. Because I think
it hasn't really worked in Charlotte yet, mate.
No, it hasn't worked at all. But and that's, you know, that's one example, of course, with Michael Jordan. But we haven't had too many players go in and own a team. And this is, I think, just it's good for the NBA to have a guy like Kevin Garnett go back in there and try to do something different. Because Minnesota, you know, it hasn't been a very successful franchise. I mean, they made the playoffs once in the last 15 years, and you need some fresh blood and some fresh ideas. And KG, we know he's passionate, so you know he's not going to just come in there and just accept whatever's there. He's going to try to make things happen. So I think it's great for the NBA to have another former player as an owner. I mean, I think yes, Grant Hill is a partial owner here in Atlanta. Other than that, I don't really, I think
Shaq has a piece of the Kings, right?
That's right, he does, yeah, a small piece, yeah. So I think it's good to get the players in there because, you know, other things as well, like the collective bargaining agreement. I mean, there is always tension between the owners and the players. So the more players that become owners, you just assume that that sort of you know, that that sort of situation will get better because they're coming from, the players are coming from the experience of being in the league and understanding how that works, and now they're going to the other side where, okay, now this is the owner's angle. So I think it's great, and I hope KG gets it. I think yeah, I think it'd be hilarious to see him, you know, raising his own jersey there, celebrating himself. Probably put a statue of himself out the front of the arena too. Why not? You're the owner.
Hires Jiggly Boy to be his GM to really build the team up. You know, come on in, he'll shake it for you.
Yeah, the guy's obviously a legend. I just thought of another minority owner who played, Will Smith. He played beside Carlton Banks when Carlton chucked that ball. He's a player.
Is he what? I see a part owner of the Sixers.
He was, right? Yeah, he was. I don't know if he sold it or not.
I don't think he still is, but yeah.
You never know with these guys.
Yeah, but there's probably a lot of guys who have got some minor stake in teams.
Yeah.
But,
wasn't Nelly part of a team somewhere? Justin Timberlake, Grizzlies.
Usher's got a little piece of the Cavs,
Usher, Cavs. Yeah, I could have been thinking Nelly Usher for some weird reason. Anyway, yeah, Kevin Garnett, he comes out on Twitter, like you said, Trey, doesn't tweet a lot, only got 55,000 followers, it's nothing. Probably made like $55 million last year, but it's a guy who obviously loves Minnesota, and I think that will attract Glenn Taylor to Kevin Garnett because he wants undoubtedly to keep the team in Minnesota, and people have said, like John Krasinski, who's followed the team, writes for The Athletic, has said that that will appeal to Glenn Taylor because they kind of both wear their heart on their sleeves. Glenn Taylor still lives in the Minnesota area, so that could work for sure. There's other team or a family that wants to buy the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Wolf family that owns the Vikings, to keep them around the Minnesota area. That's ESPN reporting. So I don't know the ins and outs of a team or of people buying a million or billion dollar franchise. I don't know the ins and outs. I'm not going to pretend that Kevin Garnett's case is the best, but yeah, when you look at it, it sort of makes sense. It's kind of hard to imagine Kevin Garnett as a hands-off owner. You know, you think he'd just want to murk it up a little bit, and sometimes that's bad for a team. In MJ's case, that's probably what's happened at times. He probably wants to get in on those transactions. Kevin Garnett, you know, it seems like he's going to want to get in there, but he probably has tons and tons of money. We saw him buy that black opal in Uncut Gems. He's got dollars for days, so it seems like a match that's meant to be. So we'll see on that front.
Especially because KG has called out the owner in the past as well. You know, like,
oh, they despised each other
for
a long time, but they seem to have mended fences now.
Yeah, and I think, again, if you're Glenn Taylor and you really want to do the right thing, I think the people of Minnesota would love to see KG as the owner there. I think no doubt about it that he's certainly the figurehead that they would like to see there. But he's got to come up with $1.2 billion, apparently. Think he can rattle up that sort of money, KG? I mean, you'll get other investors, but $1.2 billion, I mean.
Well, I mean, after the success of Uncut Gems, he can just sell that opal, and he should be getting pretty close, yeah.
He still has it, I think, right?
Yeah.
Okay, next one here. The Athletic Sham Sharanya reporting. Former NBA player Nate Robinson is scheduled to box YouTube star Logan Paul on September 12th. It's the undercard for another doozy of a fight. Mike Tyson is coming out of retirement. I think he fought like 15 years ago. He's going to fight Roy Jones. But first, let's talk about Nate Robb getting in the ring. Trey, is this news?
This will be big time news, I guess. I don't know. This will be major YouTube news if Nate Robinson loses, because I think that the best North American athletes in general play basketball and they play football. Nate did both of them at a high level. So if he can't beat a YouTube star in a boxing match, even if he's never once been in a boxing ring, he's going to have to give up like one of his dunk trophies. He's no longer going to be a Chicago Bulls legend. Only bad things can happen for Nate Robinson if he loses this fight. You know, Logan Paul's got a 13-year youth advantage, so he'll probably be a little bit fresher, but I imagine Nate is the better athlete. He's probably got a little bit more muscle mass as well. My bet is Nate, but if he loses, you know, I think he's just got to he's got to take that L and leave the NBA world.
But Logan Paul actually did get into a boxing ring. Like, he does box, though.
Yes, that is true, but I wasn't going to go deep enough to research the highlights because I don't want to mess with my YouTube algorithm. You know, right now I'm only getting Formula One, fishing, yoga, and Grateful Dead recommendations. I can't have the Paul brothers showing up in my channels every day.
That's smart. That is smart. Nobody likes that. Nobody likes getting it thrown off like that. Lee, what do you think? Logan Paul versus Nate Robb.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's going to be it's going to have a lot of eyeballs because of the fame that Logan Paul has. I mean, he's more famous than Nate Robinson, I would say. I mean, I don't know for sure, but I would guess he is because I know his name. So, sure. I mean, I hope they're going to be wearing helmets. I don't know. Like, it's weird when you see people getting into a boxing ring who aren't professional fighters, because it's like, man, you could really do some damage here if you but then again, maybe they can't throw punches at each other. So I'm not really sure about this. But I'll tell you one thing. Mike Tyson has got himself in incredible shape. He's been social media's been great to him in the last few months. Have you seen him, like, working out and stuff? He's trimmed down.
He's quick.
He still moves incredibly well. So that fight might be kind of interesting, because it was kind of sad the way Mike Tyson's boxing career ended. Anyone was beating him up. Like, there was a bouncer from Ireland who just knocked him out in the end. And I think that was the last fight he ever had. So, yeah, he's gotten himself into better condition, and he's looking good. So it'd be interesting to see how that translates to the actual boxing rings. And but, yeah, I don't know. I mean, are people going to watch Nate Robinson and Logan Paul? Really? I mean, 8 rounds? I don't know.
I mean, people are going to watch Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr., so they're going to unintentionally watch Nate Robinson, no doubt about it. But, yeah, I don't know. Reading this report, I couldn't believe that Tyson was only 3 years older than Roy Jones Jr. I thought he was like 15 years older. I guess it's just because Roy Jones had, you know, kind of a long prime, though he fell off at the end just like Tyson did.
Yeah.
Tyson's 54. So I don't like watching guys who are like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of 40 or over, or like 45 or over. I don't like seeing them get back into the ring. It's just, it's not fun to watch. Mm. But I've also been swayed by the Instagram videos and the social media videos. I mean, those fists are flying. It's funny to see how Mike Tyson signed his contract to fight Roy Jones Jr. He was smoking a joint while he signed the contract. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure that's a good plan. But I'm up on this because I'm never excited for a boxing night. And maybe it's because I'm starved for sports. But I'm watching this. I'm watching Nate Robb because I think also because of have a bit of a relationship with him, like knowing him, meeting him, how incredible an athlete he is. But like you said, Trey, definitely peak athlete. He's also like 6 inches shorter than Logan Paul, which is weird to do. Maybe it's not 6 inches.
Yeah, that's debatable. Apparently, there's a lot of controversy on the Paul brothers' height. Are they really over 6 feet, or are they lying?
Exactly, because we've met Nate Robb. He's listed at 5'9". He's not 5'9". Logan Paul, I just saw 6'2". So, I said to myself, Nate Robb's not 5'9". He's 5'8". So he's 6 inches shorter. But, yeah, I stopped myself because Logan Paul also probably lying.
Can't the weigh-ins and the measurements are must-see TV. For sure. I don't know about the fight, but we got to see how tall these guys actually are.
All right, next one here. Yahoo Sports. Becky Hammon coaches the Spurs scrimmage. Lee, is this news?
Yes, this was great news to see Becky out there, although it was probably only for one game because apparently, according to that report, Greg Popovich is going to rotate his assistant coaches around, particularly through these scrimmages. So it was good to see Becky got the first chance yesterday there. And she was out there doing everything. Pop was sitting on the side. He had a mask on. He was just an observer. So he was seeing how things were going. And, you know, Becky's been around now for, what, I think five years, I think.
She's done six seasons. It's crazy.
She's done six seasons. Wow, that's incredible. But she hasn't yet, that I have seen anyway, been linked to any serious head coaching positions in the NBA. And I would hope that, you know, she will get an interview at some point and someone will, you know, really give her a chance. Because I think, as, you know, someone like Greg Popovich, who's one of the greatest coaches we've ever seen, being under his guidance for these last few years, I think, you know, she's grown herself. She understands what it takes to coach in the NBA. And I think it would be great to see a female coaching in the NBA. And Greg Popovich says it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. If you know basketball, you know basketball. And I think Becky has that sort of respect from both sides too, from the women's game. And of course, now being so long in the men's game that she deserves a chance. So it'd be great to see. I mean, you certainly wouldn't want it to be tokenism, like we're just going to hire a woman to show that, hey, look, we're hiring a woman. But I think, you know, if she's done her time and she deserves at least to sort of take that next step where she gets an interview and possibly consider for a head coaching role, it'd be great to see for the league.
Yeah, I'm excited for that to happen whenever it does happen. It's, to me, just a matter of time. You know, a lot of Greg Popovich assistant coaches have been plucked to be head coaches elsewhere in the NBA. I assume it'll happen for Becky Hammon as well, and that will be humongous news, and that'll be really exciting when it does happen. The question for me is, will it be the Spurs that offer her a job? I remember, Tass, you made a prediction early in the year that Tim Duncan is the one who will eventually take over for Greg Popovich. It's definitely hard to imagine Tim Duncan being employed by any other organization besides the San Antonio Spurs. And he's part of this head coaching rotation that we're going to be seeing in the seeding games, or at least in the preseason games as well. So I don't know if they're going with if they're going to go with Hammond, if they're going to go with Duncan. They both seem like they're going to be solid choices. People are going to be excited when both of them take over the head spot for whichever team it is. But I mean, I don't know. I don't know Becky Hammond's connections around the league as well, but she's got the pedigree as a player, she's got the pedigree as a coach, and she's got the Popovich pedigree. So somebody's going to take a chance on her at some point. That'll be awesome.
Yeah, I will stick with my prediction and say that when this bubble run is over for the Spurs and Greg Popovich's team falls out of the playoffs or doesn't make the playoffs, he'll step aside and Tim Duncan will take the reins. I think Pop, it's going to be done. It's got to be done this year, next year. And Becky Hammon could definitely take over. But either way, she's going to get a job at some point. She's putting in the time because she wants to be a head coach. I'm not sure if Tim Duncan wants to be a head coach.
Yeah.
I have no idea. This was his first year, right, on the bench. Mm-hmm. And so that's the question. I guess if, like you said, Trey, there's no way he coaches anywhere else. But does he want the reins of the Spurs? And does he want to sit around and be an assistant for a few years? I have no idea with Timmy. But like, if he came back, he seems like the kind of guy, if he came back, then he wants to go all the way with it. But
mm-hmm. he did fill in for one game earlier this season, and
that's when I made my prediction. I was riding high. Yeah, and then people were, you know, chastising the Spurs and saying, well, why don't you give Becky Hammon the run as head coach for that game, because Pop was away from the team.
Yeah. But he also, Tim Duncan, didn't seem to be absolutely dying to become a full-time head coach. He was like, one game's enough for me. You know, I'm happy to just go back to being the assistant. So, yeah, it's very – I'm not sure Tim Duncan has got the energy to maybe coach full-time for a team when he's in the hot seat every night. It just doesn't sort of seem like that's something he's dying to do.
All right, we will get to more, including J.R. Smith not bringing enough underwear to the bubble. But first, a word from our sponsors.
Last night, baseball came back, and I couldn't be more thrilled.
This guy loves baseball.
Napping season, I call it. There's nothing quite like drifting off in the bottom of the fourth with a bowl of popcorn resting on your gut. This year is a little different, though. A lot of new rules. No spitting, no sunflower seeds, no high fives, no fist bumps, no arguments, and of course, no fans in the stands. But you know what? There's plenty of action to be had from the comfort of your own home. DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is putting you on the field with a chance to play risk-free for a shot at hundreds of thousands of dollars. If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy baseball is super easy to play. Just pick 10 players, stay under the salary cap, and pile up points for hits, runs, strikeouts, and more. There's no better way to put your baseball knowledge to the test than to compete for a shot at hundreds of thousands of dollars. But if baseball isn't for you, don't worry. The other napping sport is happening as well. DraftKings has plenty of fantasy golf action for this weekend's tournament. God, I love a good golf nap. So refreshing. With millions of dollars up for grabs this week, there's no better place to have skin in the game than with DraftKings. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code RUN to get a free shot at a share of the millions of dollars up for grabs this week with your first deposit. That's promo code RUN to get a free shot at a share of the millions of dollars with your first deposit. Only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Fellas, do you feel comfortable unveiling your summer bod? Because I do. Mine is definitely more of a dad bod, but it's as good as it's gonna get because I used Manscaped's cordless trimmer. I like this trimmer. It's not big like the other one, so I can handle it because I don't have Kawhi-like hands. It works out. It's nice and quiet, and it has a light. Yeah, a light. So when you're venturing into those areas of your body you rarely see, you're going down low, this light, it shows you the way. You won't get lost. No manscaping accidents for this guy. It comes with a standard little clip instead of going bald. I like that. I liked it so much. I also used it on my face. Now you can decide which area I trimmed first.
The order is important.
I didn't use it on my chest though, although I've heard it works for your chest as well. This is a nice little trimmer. And that light, whoo, so great. The Perfect Package 3.0 kit comes with the Essential Lawnmower 3.0 waterproof cordless body trimmer or face trimmer and a ton of other liquid formulations to round out your manscaping routine. And right now, you can get 20% off and free shipping with the code THEATHLETIC20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code THEATHLETIC20. And for a limited time, subscribers get not one, but two free gifts. The Shed Travel Bag, $39 value, very nice bag. And the patented high-performance anti-chafing Manscaped Boxer Briefs. So go to manscaped.com today and use code THEATHLETIC20. Back to Is This News? Oh, and the perfect topic after a Manscaped ad read. This is from Spectrum Sportsnet. J.R. Smith, I didn't pack enough underwear for the Orlando campus. Trey, is this news?
I thought this was crazy. Seeing the headline, I was like, come on, man. All you got to do is take 7 pairs of underwear. You've got a week's worth. Then you do laundry. You're fine. But that's exactly what J.R. Smith did.
Yeah.
He took a week's worth, and then he's like, oh, wait, I'm actually taking showers every single day, and I'm not putting my old gross underwear back on. So I guess, you know, I guess it's news. You got to take more underwear than you're expecting when you're going to be living in a humid climate playing sports all day. You need at least, I guess, 2 per day, 14 pairs. But the good thing for him, I don't think he's really the one doing his laundry. You know, it's not us, our first year at Vegas Summer League, going down and spending a couple hours in the laundry room. We're in Las Vegas, could be having the time of our lives, pumping quarters into a machine. I don't think J.R. Smith's doing that. He's sending it out. He says, we got a great laundry service. They've also apparently got some sort of concierge where they can order in stuff. So I imagine, you know, he's getting his Manscaped right and he's getting his underwear right as well.
Yeah. I'd say it's not news, though, because it is J.R. Smith, so it's on brand for him. You know, something like this was going to happen, and it's happened before we've even really started playing the game. So this is classic J.R.'s back in the league, and this is what we want to see. So, but yeah, I forgot we had to do our own laundry that first season, didn't we, in Vegas Summer League? That was, yeah, wow.
Quarters were at a premium.
Yeah. Because, you know what, though? Like, when you do get that sort of valet laundry service, it costs like $9 for a pair of underwear anyway. Like, it's about $420 for them to do your whole laundry load. Maybe JR, being out of the league for a while, he's trying to save a little bit of money there. So he can't afford to use that. He's going to have to, you know, do his own laundry there in the sink. Almost Crocodile Dundee style, you know, where he just does all his washing when he's in the bathtub at night.
Aussie style.
Exactly,
it reminded me,
yeah.
I had a friend in college who just hated to do laundry, and one day he's like, guess it's day 5 for these underwear. And we're like, what are you talking about? That's disgusting. A, do your laundry, but B, why don't you just wear a pair that had been worn for one day? You know, like, why don't you have a second pair that's on the second time you're wearing it rather than just keeping the same one going back and back and back? You don't want that kind of streak.
I mean, I know it's inconvenient sometimes to do your laundry, but, oh, man, come on. 5 days in a row, the same, or maybe not in a row. Even worse, I guess, if it's not in a row. I mean, if you're you know, adding that sort of sweat and stench over maybe a 7 to 10 day period, that's even worse. Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's your own version of Stinky Pete out there, Trey.
That's exactly right. This guy is the Stinky Pete of my life. There's no doubt.
Well, there's lots of articles talking about these smaller groups that the NBA teams have to bring down to Orlando. They've had to trim personnel from their group. So people have had to multitask. And that's where I'm not envious of everybody working for teams, because I imagine J.R. Smith said, yeah, we've got a good laundry service here, but I imagine it's some guy, unfortunately, that's working for the team that's probably doing the laundry. I mean, yeah, you have the equipment manager washing the jerseys and stuff, but now he's probably got to wash J.R. Smith's underwear, and that stinks, literally. I mean, that's terrible. That's terrible. But, yeah, J.R. Smith sort of makes sense. But I'm with you, Trey. I probably wouldn't have thought of bringing multiple underwear a day. But I think the smart move is, if you're going for an extended period of time, like we went to Vegas for 13, 14 days the first time, bring old underwear that you just don't want anymore, that's on the verge of being thrown out, because I always have underwear that I'm kind of done with, but I'm too lazy to throw out or buy new underwear. So I bring that stuff, and then after one wear, gone. And then just go buy new underwear, because like Lee said, I'm not paying $9 to do a laundry service, but I'll pay for new underwear. No problem. Jump across the street.
This is something I definitely learned from traveling with you guys. You, Tass, and Skeets, you guys are both like so ready to take stuff that's like at the very end of its life, wear it a couple of times when you're out on the trip, and then just leave it there. Who knows what's going to happen to it? You know, maybe the hotel staff will come in and see like a lost gem, and they're like, yeah, this is great. I can't wait to have this. But I'm just always amazed by like, you just left shoes in there? You just left shoes behind? Yeah, I don't wear them anymore. Why not?
Yeah, yeah, or even the new ones that we get occasionally from, we're lucky enough to get some swag before, and some of them I'm not going to wear. There's just no chance. But, it's a nice little, I have a nice little vision of leaving a nice pair of shiny yellow Adidas Derrick Rose shoes in a hotel room, and some of the hotel staff picks them up and gives them to somebody. It's a nice little treat for them, so that's... That's pretty cool. It's nice to find free stuff. Not free underwear, but free shoes. All right, next one here. This is from ESPN. Victor Oladipo starts Pacers' first scrimmage, but no decision on playing the seeding games quite yet. Is this news, Trey?
I don't know. This is just getting weirder and weirder. Like, is Victor Oladipo going to play in these seeding games? Is he going to play in the playoffs? I have no idea at this point. Nate McMillan said, we haven't talked about the start of the season. We've basically been focused for this first preseason game, and he's available tonight. But Victor Oladipo has been talking about playing during the season. So I don't necessarily buy what Nate McMillan is selling. To me, it feels like the Pacers want to put zero pressure on Oladipo. They're going to let him make the call. We're going to pay him no matter what, because we want this guy to want to stay in Indiana. They're playing it the right way. I assume that Oladipo is going to play in these seeding games in the playoffs, just because, from all reports, he's been playing pretty well in their practices. He was out there starting their very first scrimmage, and, he was moving okay. It seems as if his body is probably feeling a lot better than he thought it would after a few months off. So, I don't know. It's getting strange to hear the messaging from both sides, that being like, I'm going to play. No, I'm not going to play. Actually, we haven't even thought about if he's going to play. What is it going to be? I guess we still got, a week until we really figure it out.
Yeah, I'm going to guess that he will play if he plays in these scrimmages and feels good. I mean, why wouldn't he then at that point? While he's down there, he's around the team. He has no plans on leaving while they're still competing. So I'm guessing it's definitely confusing, and it's mixed messaging as the leaf blowers are coming by here. Great timing. To me, it's like if he gets through this, then... Why wouldn't he just go out and at least give it a try in one or two of the first playoff games or regular season games and then the playoff games? So, it's weird because I when he said he wasn't going to play, I thought that's fine. A guy's still sort of recovering from a nasty injury. But then the whole pay situation came in, which also wasn't really that confusing because the Pacers kind of just said, we're going to pay you anyway. So it's not as though he needs to play to get paid. So I think, I guess it's